guys, we're gonna get started now. Someone was asking me earlier today, maybe it was last night. No, I think it was earlier today. Someone was asking, what's in it for Rabbi Konigsberg? Why does he want to schlep all the way out here to give shir to you guys? And the answer is Harbatzas HaTorah. He mamish just came so that he can share Torah with you. We give another shir also to counselors and campers, but it's mamish purely Harbatzas HaTorah. So just a quick word of introduction to Rabbi Konigsberg's unique brand of teaching Torah. I can tell you that when I first learned Yoredeya the first time through, Rabbi Konigsberg's Sefer had not yet come out. So to me, it was a very dry limud. I was able to teach all the words, but I definitely didn't see any bigger themes. I didn't see much lumdus in it. By the time, the second time I learned Tarovis and Basar B'Chalav, it was mamish a different world. A whole new world opened up. It was what I thought was a dry limud, turned out he was Megale, was not a dry limud at all. You could see themes that run through the entire limud, categories that run through the entire limud, and lundus that runs through the entire limud, but with such clarity. And I think that's the hallmark of what Rabbi Konigsberg does, to teach with tremendous clarity in a way where you see not just the details in an organized fashion, but you see the bigger picture. You appreciate where it all comes from. You appreciate the ideas behind everything. It's a very, very great kavod for us to have Rabbi Konigsberg deliver shir. This morning he's going to be giving shir on the topic of Tevilas Kelim.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Leibowitz, for your kind words. It really is a great pleasure for me to be able to give a shir to you, to share Divrei Torah with you. I'm very thankful for the opportunity to do so. Since you're learning the sugyas of Machalei Akum, Masechta Avodah Zarah, I thought perhaps we'd spend a few moments today talking about the sugya of Tevilas Kelim, which comes up at the end of the Masechta, and which is related to this week's parasha, Parashas Matas. The Mishnah Daf Ayin Hei Amud Beis talks about a person who acquires kelim from a non-Jew. And if someone acquires used kelim from a non-Jew, before he can use the kelim, he first has to kasher the kelim. You know, if the non-Jew used the kelim for different purposes, we assume he used it for yisr. So for the Jew to be able to use that kli, he first has to kasher the kli. And that's really what the Mishnah is focusing on. It's not really talking about tefilas kelim, it's really talking about hechsher kelim. That there are different ways that we can kasher a kli. There are three different ways. Mishnah says, Alakayach klei tashrish min ha'akum, someone who acquires the kelim from a non-Jew, as shadarko lahatbil, yatbil, what's normal to be matbil, what does it mean to be matbil? If the non-Jew used the kli bitsone, used the kli for something cold, for a cold liquid that was usr, so then it's enough to rinse out the kli, then, and any of the isser that was on the surface of the kli will no longer be there. Lahagil, yagil. If the non-Jew used the kli for something, a boiling liquid of some sort, maybe a soup, a non-kosher soup, or some kind of boiling liquid, so then you need hagola, you have to do hagola to put the kli into boiling water in order to kasher that kli. Lelabein ba'ur, yelabein ba'ur. And if the non-Jew used the kli in the fire, let's say he put something into the oven or a barbecue or something, used directly on the fire without a liquid medium, so then the way to kasher that kli is through libun. So there are three different ways that we kasher the kelim, and then we're able to use the kli that we got from the non-Jew. But says the Gemara, the Tana, v'kulan tzrichin tefila b'arbaim sa, all of these kelim require something else besides the hechsher. Besides the hechsher that you have to do in order to remove the blia from the kli, to remove the absorption of iser from within the walls of the kli, or to burn the absorption in its makom, which Liban does according to some shittas, or to wash out the iser, you need something else. You need a tevila barbaim sa. You need tevila in a mikveh barbaim sa. Barbaim sa makes us think of a mikveh, right? A mikveh that a nida is tovelis in. How do we know? The Pasuk in Parshas Matos says that if the Klal Yisrael came back from the Muhammad with Midyan, They had all these kalim that they acquired from the Midyanim. They didn't buy them, but they acquired them b'milchama. It's also a kinyan. So the pasuk says they were told that they have to be careful. They first have to kasher the kalim. You can't use the kalim without kashering. It says kol davar sheyava ba'esh tavir ba'esh. If it's davar sheyava ba'esh, if he used it in the fire, you have reason to believe that the guy used it in the fire. Yulabein ba'ur, then tavir ba'esh. You have to be malabein the item in order to kasher. But that's just an example. The other modes of hechsher apply as well. It depends how the non-Jew used the kalim. Depending on how he used the kalim, that determines how you have to kasher the kli. But the pasuk continues and says vitoher. There's an extra word. That after the kashering of the kli, then vitoher. So says the Gemara in Avodah Zarah there on Dafayin Hey, Hosef lecha kosef taira acheres. The pasuk adds an extra level of taira. That aside from the taira of hechsher kalim, you also need a taira of tvilas kalim. That if a person acquires kalim from a non-Jew, not only does he have to be machsher the kli if it were used before, if the non-Jew used the kli before, then he has to kasher the kli. But also he needs tvilas kalim as well. He has to be matbil the kli in a mikveh that a nida would be able to be tovel in order to become tahar. This is the basic halacha, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, learning from this week's parsha. The Gemara continues and says that this halacha of tefilas kalim applies not only if a Jew acquires kalim that we used by the guy, but even kalim chadashim. That's the next step of the Gemara, that even kalim chadashim also require tefilas kalim. As long as you acquire them from the non-Jew owned the kalim, and then you acquire them from the Jew has to do a tefilas kalim before he may use the kli. Why? There's no hechsher. I can understand by the clay midyan there was a hechsher and then there was a tefilah. So okay, maybe tefilas kalim is required after the hechsher process. But let's say you don't have to kasher the kalim. The kalim chadashim, what could be the problem? So says the Gemara, well, if you think about it, after the kashering process, the kli that was used is almost brand new. It's practically new. Because there's nothing in it anymore. There's no absorption in it. There's nothing remaining from the goy's usage. So if a kli that has been kashered requires tefilah, then a new kli that's acquired from a goy should also require tefillah. Because yishonim v'libnam kechadoshim damu. Yishonim, older kalim that you did libn to, or hagala, you kashered the kli, then it's like a new kli. So if that new kli that you acquired from a non-Jew requires tefillahs kalim, then a new kli should require tefillahs kalim as well. What's the idea of tefillahs kalim? Why do we do the tefillahs kalim? What's the purpose of this? The kli is not tummy necessarily, so why should we have to be tovo the kli? So the Ritva is a comment, he quotes from the Yerushalmi. Since the Jew is acquiring the kli from a non-Jew, in a sense, the kli is entering into Kedushas Yisrael. Some of the Achronim have a lashon that the kli is, so to speak, undergoing a type of gerus. Just like a non-Jew who becomes a Jew is undergoing a type of gerus, in a sense, this tefilas kalim is like a gerus for the kli. It's a, you know, it's a borrowed phrase. It's not really a gerus, but you're being tovel the kli, matvel the kli, because you're bringing it into kedushas Yisrael. Now it's going to have Jewish usage, not non-Jewish usage. So that's why there's a requirement of tefilas kalim. If you acquire a used kli from the non-Jew, then you have to kasher the kli as well. If you acquire a new kli, you don't have to kasher the kli, but you still require tefilas kalim before you can use any kli that you acquire from the non-Jew, because it's entering into Kedushas Yisrael, leaving, so to speak, Tumas Akum. It's not a real Tuma. It's not like Tuma Shera, it's Nevela. It's a Tumas Akum. It's a conceptual Tuma. It's a Ruchniyistik Tuma. Entering into Kedushas Yisrael, that's why there's a need for tefilas kalim. The question is tefilas kalim a mitzvah d'oraisa? Or maybe it's only a mitzvah d'rabbanan? We have a halacha. The Gemara tells us a halacha based on the Mishnah. The Ritva quotes Yerushalmi that expands a little bit and gives us a bit of a time of the Kra. But okay, it's a time of the Kra, but do we take that pasuk seriously? I know there's a pasuk. Sounds like it's a daraisa, right? But is it really daraisa? Is it really daraisa? Or maybe it's only the Rabbanan. How can it be a Rabbanan if there's a pasuk? Anyone? How can it be a Rabbanan if there's a pasuk? The pasuk could just be what? Asmachta ba'alma, right? It could be it's a remez from the Torah. The Chazal linked this halacha to the pasuk, but that's not necessarily, you know, a full proof that it's deraisa. So is it deraisa or not? So this, in fact, is a big machlokas in the Rishon. Rashi on the Gemara there on the Afayin Hayam Adbeis has a loshon gzeres hakosavi. It's comes from Rashi that it really is a daraisa. That v'toher is hosef l'chosef taira acheres. Tfilas kailim is a mitzvah daraisa, according to Rashi. But the Ramban ala Torah says, v'libi maharer, I think in my heart that maybe it's only a darabon. I don't think, it doesn't say mefurish in the posuk, tatbilu, yatbilu, v'toher. So Chazal saw a remez in the word v'toher, there's a taira acheres that you have to do, but does the posuk really say you have to be matal l'kli? Maybe it's only a din darabonon with a remez, with an asmachta in the posuk. That's what the Ramban wants to suggest. So some of the achronim write that it sounds like that from the Rambam as well. That maybe the Rambam in Hilchos Macholos Asuros holds that Tfilas Kalim is only a din derabbanan. Which Rambam? That's the Rambam in Hilchos Macholos Asuros, Perek Yudzayin. Perek Yudzayin Halacha Hei. Here the Rambam begins his discussion of Tfilas Kalim, and he says the following: Tfila Zushim Abilin Klei Suda on the Kochim and Agoyim. Rambam says it's not from Tuma V'Tara really. The Kalim are not Tome. Not a Chashash of Tuma. It's Midivrei Sofrim. V'Romazlo. V'Remezlo. Kol Dovar Sheyava Bo'esh Tavira Bo'esh V'Toher. U'Mipi Hashmu Alamdu She'enu Medaber Ela V'Tarosu Midei Giyulei Goyim Lo Midei Tuma. It's not from Tuma V'Tara, says the Rambam. It's from Giyulei Nochem, meaning from ownership of a Goy. That's what the Tfilas Kalim is for. And the Rambam says, "Shein lecha tuma ola al yidei ha'esh, v'chalat tmeim bitvila ola mitumasam bitumasmeis etc." The Rambam concludes, "Halacha hey, the kevan shekosev v'toyer omru chachamim hosev lotara achar avirasa ba'esh la'atiru migiule goyim." Says v'toyer. So once it says v'toyer, omru chachamim, Chazal say that there's a tara acheres that you have to do Tfilas Kalim. There's a lot of language in this Rambam. So the Achronim start to pick the Rambam apart. What Loshen in the Rambam implies the Reis, the Rabbanan, what's going on over here? So what does the Rambam say in the beginning? Tvila Zush Mabilin Paisudan Lukochim Minagoyim Einan Linyin Shum V'tara Elami Divrei Sofrim. What language is there that implies the Reis or the Rabbanan? Divrei Sofrim. So Divrei Sofrim sounds a little bit like what? Drabon. Divrei Sofrim. Efshin sounds like a little Drabon. Then what does the Rambam say? What does that sound like? Mipi Ashmua from Kabbalah? Unclear. Sounds a little bit different. Kabbalah, Halacha Mashmi Sinai, maybe more Daraisa. But then the Rambam turns around and says, Kevan Shekosu V'Torah, Omru Chacham Emosu V'Chatara Achar Havirosu Beish Latiru Migiyu Legoyim. What Lashon there sounds like the Rabbanan, Omru Chachamim. So what's going on? The Rambam is going back and forth here. Is it the Rabbanan? Is it the Raisa? So the Prichodosh in Yeridaya suggests that you see from the first Lashon of the Rambam, Midivrei Sofrim, and the last Lashon, Omru Chachamim, that the Rambam holds Tfilas Kalim is only the Rabbanan, that the Torah is just an Asmachta Ba'alma. Just an Asmachta Ba'alma, because that's the overwhelming impression you get from the language of the Rambam, because there are two places where the Rambam says something that sounds like it's the Rabbanan. Comes the Kesef Mishnah and quotes a Tshuva of the Rashba, who says, no, the Rambam holds that Tfilas Kalim is Daraisa. Tfilas Kalim that we do when we acquire a Kli from a non-Jew is Daraisa. Where did the Rashba get this? So the Kesef Mishnah says, he thinks the Rashba picked on the middle Lashon of the Rambam. Mipi HaShmua. That sounds like it's Divrei Kabbalah. Halacha Moshmi Sinai. It's some type of Daraisa. But the other Lashons, Divrei Sofrim, Amr Chachamim, what's the Rashba going to do with that? The Rambam holds the Raisa, so why does the Rambam use these other Lashonim? So they point out that both Midivrei Sofrim and the Omru Chachamim don't necessarily mean the Rabbanan in the Lashon of the Rambam. You know, the Rambam has such a golden Lashon. You have to weigh, Reb Chaim was so careful with every nuance of the Rambam's Lashon. The Lashon in the Halacha, the Smichas HaParshiyos, so to speak, the Smichas Halachas, what's before, what's after, there's so much in the Lashon of the Rambam. So they point out, you learn a little bit of Rambam, you find that there are circumstances where the Rambam does say, Omru Chachamim by Daraisas. What's the example that they give? Hilchas Tefillah. That's the classical example. Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, we know the Rambam and the Ramban have a famous machlokas where the Tefillah, once a day, every day is deraisa or no. The Ramban holds Tefillah is deraisa only be'ez tzara. If a person is be'ez tzara, he's in a difficult situation, and he doesn't daven, he's mevatel a mitzvah deraisa of Tefillah. Could be a person is going, he has a final exam, he's supposed to daven. Without davening, that could be, I don't know, could be a bitl deraisa of Tefillah, maybe that's not called such an eis tzara. Certainly, if a person has an eis tzara, chalila, someone is sick, or he faces a very difficult situation, he doesn't daven, the Rabban would say that's a bittul of the mitzvah deraisa of tefillah. But once a day, every day, the Ramban says that's not deraisa, that's the Rabbana. But the Rambam holds that tefillah is deraisa each and every day, once a day, every day. Three times a day, that's the Rabbana, that was added. But once a day, each and every day, the Rambam holds is deraisa. But look at the lashon of the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah. Rambam says, "Amr Chachamim may zohi avoda shebelev zohi tefillah." The Chachamim says, "What is avoda shebelev lo avda b'chol levavchem? Avoda shebelev that's tefillah. Amr Chachamim zo tefillah. Amr Chacham. I thought the Rambam says it's daraisa. You see that Amr Chachamim and the Rambam might be that the Chachamim are just interpreting the pasuk. It might really be a daraisa, but it's the interpretation of Chazal in the pasuk." What the Rambam says in Tfilas Kalim that it's Midivrei Sofrim, that also doesn't necessarily mean the Rabbanan, could mean Daraisa. They point to the famous Kesef Mishnah at the beginning of Hilchas Ishus. We know that a woman is nicknamed the Kesef Shtarubiyah. There are three ways, maybe some of you have learned Kiddushin this year, three ways to be Mekadosh and Isha. Kesef is the classical way, that's how we do it. We do it B'Tabas, for a certain reason, based on a Zohar, but it's Kiddushay Kesef. Kiddushay Kesef, is that Daraisa? So if you would ask me, of course, the Gemara has psukim for each one of the types of kedushin. Does someone know where we learn kedusha kasef from? Anyone? Gzereshava, you know the Gzereshava, kicha kicha mistei Ephraim. Okay, so Gzereshava sounds like daraisa to me. So comes the Rambam at the beginning of Chasidus and says kedusha kasef is only midivrei sofrim. He doesn't say only. He says it's midivrei sofrim. So everyone's jumping. What does the Rambam hold? It's midivrei sofrim. It's drabbanan. How can that be? Come on, it's daraisa. It's Gzereshava. It says the Kesef Mishnah, Midivrei Sofrim doesn't mean the Rabbanan. It just means that it's not Mefurish in the Torah. It's not Mefurish in the Torah. It's a Gzera Shava. That's not called Mefurish. It's not so Mefurish. It's a Pasuk, but it's not Mefurish in the Torah. So therefore the Rambam calls it Midivrei Sofrim, he doesn't say that it's a straight Daraisa. But it really is Daraisa. So that's why the Rashba felt that the Rambam holds Tzilas Kelim is really Daraisa. Mipia Shmua implies that it's really Daraisa. I Amru Chachamim Midivrei Sofrim. No, those two phrases don't necessarily mean that it's Drabanan. It could still be Daraisa, and the Rambam will use these two phrases. Okay, so these are the different some of the Shittas in the Rishonim. It's a beautiful Sefer Tvilas Kalim that Ritzi Cohen is a big gadol in Eretz Yisrael. He's written a number of very beautiful svarim. So he has the classic on Tvilas Kalim. He has everything. I don't know, but he certainly has a lot. Right, those footnotes are copious. You can spend a whole summer learning Hilchas Tefillas Kalim. Maybe you'll do that next summer. Okay. Okay. So he has there, you know, many other Rishonim in the Mavo to the Sefer. He talks about the different Rishonim who hold that it's the Raisa, the Rabbana, a lot of back and forth. So the Rambam is a whole give and take. Whether he holds the Raisa, the Rabbana, the Ramban seems to say more the Rabbana, the Rashi says the Raisa. There are different Shittas in the Rishonim. But this is all in terms of the kalim that the Torah mentions. The Torah talks about six different metals, right? Aches hazav, es hakesef, es hanachoshes, es barzel, es habedil, ve es haofores. Right? Those are the six metals that the Torah mentions. Gold, silver, copper, what else? Iron, tin, and lead. Right? So there's a discussion in the poskim whether aluminum, whether other metals fall under the rubric of these six metals. Let's assume for our purposes that they do. Okay, it's not mefurish in the Gemara, right? But the pashup shot is that they do fall under the rubric of these six metals. But what is interesting is that there is a type of kli, a very common type of kli, that's not mentioned in the pasuk at all. What is that? Glass kli. What's the status of a glass kli? Do you have to be tovel glass kli? That's the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says that glass kalim also require tefillah. Why? Because even if they're not metal, but they share the properties of metal. What property of metal does glass share? That if it breaks, you can fix it by melting it, by melting it into a form. We probably wouldn't do that. If the glass kli broke, we'd throw it out and buy a new one. But at the time of the Gemara, some people would melt the glass into its form as a kli. So because kinishtabru yesh lem takona, even after they break, there's still a takona for them, then even though klematchas amurim beparsha, even though the parsha only talks about klematchas, about metal kelim, but glass is also chayev in tevila as well. Okay, this is what the Gemara says. Do you make a bracha on the tevila of glass? So this is a popular misconception. Someone told me that in one of the mikvos it says that metal, you should be tova with a bracha, glass be tova without a bracha. It's an absolute mistake. It's a popular misconception. People think that glass is not on the same level as metal. It's not. It's different. The poskim say that glass only has a chiyuv midirabbanan in tefillah. Even if you hold that tefillas kelim for metal is deraisa, glass is only derabbanan, because it's a further expansion on the din of tefillas kelim. But just because it's a mitzvah derabbanan doesn't mean that it doesn't require a bracha. There is a Me'iri, there's one day in the Me'iri in Avodah Zarah that's mefakbek on the whole din, because he says that Gemara in Shabbos argues and says maybe glass, it's not like metal, there's no requirement of tefillah at all. So that's why some say, well, we don't know if it requires tefillah, because maybe the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is not the Gemara that we actually paskin like. So that's why they're tova without a bracha. But it's one day in the Me'iri, it's not brought in Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't come down in the poskim. The Parshat Pshat is that avada glass requires tefillah, might be a mitzvah derabbanan. It might not be, it's definite, probably not a mitzvah deraisa, right? But it's still a mitzvah. And a mitzvah derabbanan requires a bracha as well. We know Ner Chanukah, Mikra Megillah, we make brachas on mitzvahs derabbanan. Tefillas kaim should be no different. Even if it's only a mitzvah derabbanan to be makbil glass, that should require a bracha as well. That's the appropriate thing to do. It's appropriate to be tovel all metal kelim that you have, pots and pans and silverware and things like that, and all glasses, glass kelim that you have, corningware and other things. There are discussions about korel. We're not going to talk about all the details. The time doesn't permit. But as a general rule, metal and glass do require tefillah with a bracha. That's what most poskim assume. How about plastic? So some poskim point out, why shouldn't plastic require tefillah just like glass? It has the same properties as glass, that you can melt the plastic. That's how they made the plastic kli to begin with. So if the plastic breaks, you can remelt it into a form. So lechor should have the same status as glass, so it should require tefillah with a bracha. The fact is, the German Jewish community, KAJ, paskins that plastic kelim require tevila with a bracha. That's, I think, in the mikveh in Breuers, they have a sign telling you exactly what to be tovel, and there it says that plastic requires tevila with a bracha. And there's no problem with that. I won't disagree, because there is a shita like that. There are some poskim that hold that plastic is exactly the same as glass, because it shares the property as glass. It shares the property of glass. But most poskim assume not like that. Most poskim assume that even if the Gemara expands the din of tefillas kelim to glass, but we can't expand even further. We're not going to make our own gzeira. So even though plastic shares similar properties to glass, it's not part of the gzeira. So it doesn't require tevila. Not that it requires tevila without a bracha. It doesn't require tevila at all. And I think that's the minig yisro. That's the more popular minig, that we are tovel metal kelim and glass kelim, and we make a bracha for both, but plastic kelim, most will not be tovel b'chlam. The Breuers community is actually tovel plastic with a bracha, but most are not going to be tovel plastic at all. Okay? This is the basic halacha of tefillas kelim, the raisa, the rabbanan, and what kelim require this type of tefillah. Questions? Yes?
Is there an Indian, even though you said we should only make a bracha on plastic, if I have, let's say, glass cups and metal forks, then make the bracha on the forks, and then...
Miyos tov al tikori ra, if you can make the bracha on the forks, that's certainly better. But if a person only has a plastic kli to be tovel, I'd say don't bother. You don't have to go to the mikveh. You don't have to bring that. If you only have a glass kli, you don't have to wait until you have a metal kli. You can take that glass kli to the mikveh and make a bracha on it with no problem. But if you have both, then lechora, it's probably better to make on the metal kli for a different reason, because the metal kli might be deraisa. The glass kli, according to most poskim, I imagine the Sefer Tefillas Kelim probably quotes someone who says that glass is deraisa also. But I think the conventional wisdom is that glass is only derabbanan. So better to make the bracha on the mitzvah deraisa rather than making on the mitzvah derabbanan. What's enough kamina whether tefilas kelim is deraisa, derabanan? It's yachayev in tefila anyway. It's a mitzvah anyway. So does it really matter? Besides the issue that you mentioned, whether there's a din kedima for the mitzvah deraisa over the mitzvah derabanan, is there a practical difference whether it's deraisa or derabanan? So we know what's the classical nafkamina between deraisas and derabanans. Suffolk. Right? Suffolk, we know. Speka deraisa lechumra, derabanan lekula, right? We know the basic yisum. So here too, the post can point out that the rules of Sveika supply by Tfilas Kalim as well, depending on whether it's Daraisa or Darabon, but with a twist. If it's a Sveika Dedina, if the Suffolk in question is a Suffolk in Din, we don't know how to pask in the Halach in this particular case, with this Kli. There are many discussions that we're not going to get to about Tfilas Kalim. Whether this particular case requires Tfilah, doesn't require Tfilah, back and forth. So if this is Sveika Dedina, then Taka. If Tzilas Kalim is a Din Daraisa, then Tzvei Daraisa L'chumra, you should be Machmet to be Tovu. If it's Darabon and Tzvei Darabon and L'kula, you can be Mekel. And because there's a difference between Daraisas and Darabonans, then there will be a difference between metal as opposed to glass in the Sveika Dedina. Since glass is only Darabonan, there might be room to be Mekel in the Sveika Dedina for glass. But the post can point out that's only regarding a Sveika Dedina. If there's a Suffolk in Halacha, whether the Kli requires Tevila or not, then it depends on whether the mitzvah is a mitzvah deraisa or only a mitzvah derabanan. But if the problem is that you don't remember whether you were Tovil the Kli, that's the Suffolk that we're talking about, there you can't be Mekel even by derabanans. If you have a glass Kli that you don't know whether you were Tovil, you can't say, well, Sveika derabanan's Lakula, so I don't have to go be Tovil it again. No. In such a Suffolk, we have to be Machmel. Sveika Dedina, that we can be Mekel by Darabonis. But a Suffolk, whether I was Tovel the Kli or not, that I can't be Mekel on. Why not? So the post can point out, because Tfilas Kalim is a special type of din. Special halacha. Maybe some of you have learned Masech the Beitza. So it's what's called a Dover Sheyesh L'Matir. It's something that you can solve the problem. You can be Toshit the Suffolk. It's a very simple way of getting out of this problem. Just be Tovel the Kli. And then you now know that you were Tovel the Kli. So by Dover Sheyesh L'Matirin, the Gemara in Beitza says we don't rely on Sveika D'Rabbanan L'Kula. That's the Yisod, because as Rashi says, he doesn't quite say this, but the Lashon that the Achronim have is Ad She'Tochlenu Be'Issa Tochlenu Be'Heter. Why rely on the Din of Sofek, Sofek Issa, Sveika D'Rabbanan L'Kula, Tochlenu Be'Heter? Why don't you eat it Be'Heter? Why don't you use the Kli Be'Heter? Use it after being Tovel. So whenever you have a Dover Sheyesh L'Matirin, the rules of Sveika D'Rabbanan L'Kula don't apply. If you were to have, let's say, I don't know, Suffolk by a D'Rabbanan, let's say you have, you're learning Pasakam, Bishalakam, right? So you have different breads. One of them is Pasakam. Okay, Bishalakam. I don't know. Pasakam is not a gzera that we follow as much. Okay, whatever. You'll talk about the details. But Bishalakam, let's say, right? You have three different items that have been cooked. One is bishalakam, the other is not. It's a din derabanan, right? So if you have chad betray, if you have a tarovus of chad betray, then you can be mekel. You can be mekel for such a suffik. Right? Well, that's a rov even. That's better. Let's say you have chad bechad. That's a suffik. So lechori, you should be able to be mekel on that suffik. It's only a sveika derabanan. That should go lekulas. So you should be able to be mekel because it's only an issa derabanan. But here, when it comes to tefilas kelim, you can't be mekel because it's a davar sheyesh l'matirin. That case of Suffolk is not a Dover Sheyesh L'Matirin. You don't know which piece is Bishalakim. But you can't solve the question. It's going to remain a question in the Olam Void. But by Tfilas Kalim, if you just be Matbal the Kli, so then you've solved your problem. Now you know that the Kli was Nitbal, and it doesn't require a further Tfilas Kalim. So Bedavka, when it comes to Tfilas Kalim, since it's a Dover Sheyesh L'Matirin, we're not going to rely on Sveika D'Rabbanan L'Kula if the Suffolk is whether you were Tovel the Kli. If the Suffolk is in Din, whether this Kli requires Tefillah B'Chlal, so then for Zechuchis, for glass, you will be able to be Mekel, but for Matchis, for metal, you won't be able to be Mekel because that's the Raisa. Question in the back.
Yeah, why the Suffolk of Dina would you not use the same Svara demonstration of Yidiyah?
Because it's not a Suffolk of Yidiyah. The Sveika D'Dina is... Wrong one here. The Sveika Dedina is not going to be solved by a Tvila. Right? If you're Tovel the Kli, then you know that the Kli was Tovel, right? It was Nitbal, but you still had a Suffolk whether the Kli was Chayiv and Tvila to begin with. Right? The Suffolk is not going to be resolved So whenever the suffix is not going to be resolved, then the rule of Davar Sheyesh Matirin doesn't apply because the suffix remains null and void. Davar Sheyesh Matirin means if you can solve the suffix, you can create a situation where the suffix no longer exists. So then you can't rely on the rule of Sfeika D'Rabbanan L'Kula to rely on the suffix, the heter of suffix, but rather you got to go through with the motions in order to remove that suffix. But by Sfeika D'Rabbanan, you're not going to remove the suffix, so therefore you can rely on Sfeika D'Rabbanan L'Kula. Yes?
By Davar Sheyesh Matirin, would you say about Hanir?
I think if there's a chiyuv to be tovel, if you make a bracha, it's only a suffix, you're saying. It's a suffix, but there's a chiyuv. I don't know. It's a very interesting shaila, right? There is a chiyuv. See, it's interesting. There's a discussion in the Rishonim. What happens if someone has a suffix mitzvah deraisa? Chogas, the Rambam and the Ravid, and Hilchos Mila, whether you make a bracha on such a mitzvah. The Ravid says, of course, why should you make a bracha? Why should you... The Rambam says, why should you make a bracha on suffix? Don't make a bracha. Bracha is the Rabbanan. Sfeik the Rabbanan L'Kula. Don't make a bracha. Got to do the mitzvah, but don't make the bracha. The Ravid says, no. If you're doing the mitzvah, then the bracha comes along for the Rav. But that's by mitzvah d'oraisa. I don't know if that would apply by mitzvah d'Rabbanan. Here is a chiyuv to do the tfilas kelim with the Rabbanan because Davar Sheyesh Matirin is not going to be mata. But you are right. It still is a suffix. So it's unclear whether you'd make a bracha. Because you don't have to make the bracha in order to be poshid the shayla. Which is interesting, lumdish question. What do you think, Rabbi Leibowitz? Yeah, I'm not sure.
Does anyone hold that Sfeik Davar Sheyesh Matirin is Chumra Midaraisa? It's the Chumra Midarabanan.
Right.
So it would be a little different than Sfeik Davar Sheyesh Matirin. By Sfeik Davar Sheyesh Matirin, the Chumra may say, well, it's my focus with the Sfeik Davar Sheyesh Matirin.
Right, so... So Rabbi Leibowitz is suggesting that the reason why the Rambam is makil that by Sfeik D'Oraisa you don't make a bracha is because the din of Sfeik D'Oraisa L'chumra in general is only a chumra D'Rabbanan to begin with. That happens to be the Rambam Shita. So since it's only D'Rabbanan, so therefore we're not going to be machmir to make the bracha as well. But that's not the only way to explain. I think there are others. Rabbi Ginnak has in the Sefer Gan Shoshanim in Siman Aleph. I think he might quote from the Rav this as well, that the Ravid holds that the bracha is a chelik of the mitzvah. Chazal always instituted that whenever you do the mitzvah, then you have to say the bracha as well. The Rambam could just hold that the bracha is not a chelik of the mitzvah. It's separate. It's a davar b'fnei atzmo. There's what to talk about. But it's a discussion for another time. It's an excellent question. Yes?
Let's say you want to use the clean now. So by waiting, that's a new question. Because when you're waiting, then you wanted it before.
If you want to use the clean now... So it's Yesh Lo Matirin in the future, but for now it's not Yesh Lo Matirin, right? That's a good question. It is also a good question. If you want to use it now, then it's not Yesh Lo Matirin. I can't wait till later. I want to have a barbecue. I went out and bought some metal type of thing, and I'm going to be using the grill. I want to use the grill, and I'm somewhere where I don't have a mikveh. It's a good kasha. I'm not sure. Not sure what the answer to that shaila is.
Also.
Oh, he does, yeah? What does he say? Okay, so you have to speak to your posek to figure out what to do. It's also an excellent, excellent shaila. I saw there was one last hand. Yes?
If you're in an area that doesn't have a mikvah, can you rely then on the deen of Sabbath?
So that's the same shaila that he's asking, right? So that's, I mean, you could get to a mikveh, it's just you happen to be in an area where there is no mikveh. So can you rely on suffix in that case? Sfeika D'Rabbanan L'Kula. Again, this is only going to apply to glass anyway, right? It's not going to apply to metal, which we assume is deraisa. But let's say, so we mentioned the case of the barbecue. I don't think you're going to barbecue on glass, but okay. But, you know, you're going to use glasses. I guess the answer is that if you really don't need the glass, you could go out and buy plastic cups. I don't know if you should be makel to use the glass. Probably better just to get the plastic cups. But if you have a situation where you have to use the glass, so then there really is a shaila. Whether it's not it's a davar she'ein lo matirin right now, so should it be permissible to use the item without tefillah? If again you have a suffix, whether you were tovel it before, we're still talking about a case of suffix. Remember, if you vade, we're not tovel the grill or tovel tovah the glass, you can't use it, right? You can't use it without tefillah. There's no question. If you were tovah it already, or if you may have been tovah already, you have a suffix, so then we have a discussion. What do you mean? You're saying the case over there, yomtiv. My beitzah shenol de yomtiv. He's saying you do want to use it now, but it's yesh lematirin. Right, it's yesh lematirin for tomorrow. Itaka. That's called yesh lematirin. The fact that tomorrow the beitzah shenol de yomtiv now is muktza, but it'll be muta the next day. That's called yesh lematirin. Just because I can't use it now doesn't mean it's not yesh lematirin. Meaning the fact that I want to use it now, I don't say it's ein lematirin now. It's yesh lematirin later. Good point. So that might actually be poshate the other shaila too. Just because it is a time delay and I can't use it now, that doesn't mean it's ein lamatirin. Wait until you can use it, behata. That's a very good point. Very good point. That's the mocker of davish yesh lamatirin. Yeah. Yes.
Let's say you can't get to a place in which there is a mitzvah.
You can still wait, right? Beitzah shenol de biyomtiv is a classical example where I can't get to that place. It's tomorrow. It's the next day. I can't get to a time where the egg is going to be mutus. I have to wait. That's still called yesh lematirin. So in this case as well, the fact that I can't get to a mikveh now, so wait till you can get to a mikveh. Maybe tomorrow you'll be able to get to a mikveh. Okay. This is one nafkamina in the shaila as to whether tilas kelim is deraisa or only derabanan. The second famous issue that's discussed regarding this question is whom can you trust regarding tevila? You know, sometimes you might send a friend to do tevilas kelim for you. Someone just told me that Mishpacha magazine had a discussion. You know, every week they have a discussion with someone who does something interesting. They ask him 10 questions. So a couple of weeks ago, a member of my family pointed out to me that they had a discussion with someone who does tevilas kelim for other people. They make him a shliach. You know, they think of everything nowadays. It's unbelievable. So this individual will get all the kelim that you want him to be tovel, and he'll be your shliach to be matul the kelim. He'll make the brocha, because he's doing the maisa mitzvah, but he'll be matul for you. Is there any problem with doing that? Well, the person who's not matul the kelim loses the brocha, but he gets the mitzvah, because this person is only a shliach of the balabas. So he's not losing the mitzvah, and it's a tircha for him to go. So, l'chora, there's really nothing wrong with doing that. It's a very interesting idea. But let's say instead of sending a gadol, instead of sending a person who does this as a business, he's over 13, he's a gadol just like the person who's sending him. Let's say the person who's being sent is below bar mitzvah. He's a katan. Let's say a younger sibling, a younger child is sent to the mikvah. A 10-year-old, a 9-year-old is sent to the mikvah to be tovel kelim. Is that appropriate to do? So first of all, it's not so appropriate to do because he can't be your shliach. There's no shlichas for a katan. So you are losing the mitzvah by giving the kelim to the katan to bring to the mikvah. It's probably better for the gadol to be tovel himself. But the question is even greater than that, and that is, let's say the person sent the katan. He can't go. For some reason, he can't go, and the katan is the only one available. It's Erev Shabbos, and the mother's working hard in the kitchen. She wants to send a young child. Can she trust the young child that he did the Tfilas Kelim? Does he have nemonus that the Tfilas Kelim occurred or not? So the Shulchan Aruch in Yeredeya in Simen Kuf Chaf, which is the Simen all about Tfilas Kelim, at the very end in Sif Yudalad, the Chumash Sadesh, Shulchan Aruch quotes the Chumash Sadesh, who says that we don't trust the katan on Tfilas Kelim. Why not? Why don't we trust the katan? So the Mefarshim, the Kelim, the Taz, and the Bir Agra there suggest that Tfilas Kelim might be a mitzvah deraisa, and katanim are not nemon on mitzvahs deraisa. The Chumash Sadesh there points out that Tosus and Psachim, the katanim are nemon about Vidikas Chometz. Vidikas Chometz is only a mitzvah derabonon. So on that, the katanim are nemon, it's the yodam to do. So they're neman about bedikas chametz, but deraisa, the katan is not neman by deraisa. If tefilas kelim is deraisa, so then we can understand why the Chumash Adesh and Paskins that you can't trust the katan. So aside from the fact that the gadol is gonna lose out on the mitzvah, he's not even gonna know whether the tefilas kelim occur because he can't trust the katan when the katan comes back and tells him that he did the job. He was tovel the items in the mikvah. But that's in terms of tefilas kelim deraisa. Klei matches, it's a sveika deraisa, perhaps you should be machmer not to rely on the katan. Zok Reb Kiva Eiger, there in his chidushim of Shulchan Aruch, but what happens when it comes to klei zechuchis, glass kelim? Kiva Eiger says, I think you can trust the katan on the glass kelim. Because glass kelim are only a mitzvah derabanan, Taisus and Psachim says that for mitzvahs derabbanan, we do trust the katan. They have nemanas. If it's biyadam to do, Dr. Kideger, I think you can trust the katan on tfilas kalim of glass, because glass is only a mitzvah derabbanan. Yes?
What's the svara of trusting them behind the rabbanan and not by the raisa?
Chazalam or mekel. Meaning the fact that they don't have nemanas for the raisa. The raisas are more chomer. So just like we'll be more machmir for a suffix by a deraisa. We'll be more machmir. We want to make sure. I mean, it's almost like a suffix. You don't know whether the tefillah took place. So if we're talking about a din deraisa, we'll be more machmir to say we can't trust the katan that it was done properly. But if it's a din derabbanan, if it's only a tefillah derabbanan, then we can trust the katan. Yes?
But din deraisa, the kid says that he was tovah. Can you make a bracha when you tovah?
He's saying because it's still only a suffix. He doesn't have the manas, but he's molid a suffix. L'chora, he's molid a suffix. Right, but again, as we mentioned, for mitzvahs deraisa, there's a machlokas derabim and deraivin whether for a suffik mitzvah you make a bruch or not. So that would depend on the machlokas derabim and deraivin. Yes. Maybe that's part of the nemanis. That's part of the idea that we don't know if it was done. We don't know if it was done properly, done at all. I mean, I think we assume that the katan did something. Right? We don't assume that he's coming back. But you're raising a good point. We don't know for sure that the katan knows the halachas, that he knows what he's doing. You know, even if he's come to the shir, you know, even if you have a katan at the shir and he hears, but you know, he doesn't have a full das. So we're not sure that it was done properly. So therefore, we can't rely on the katan for the raises, but for the rabbanans we can rely on the katan. Says the Pischei Tshuva, quoting from the Prima Gadim. I don't think Reb Kiveger is right. The Prima Gadim says that maybe even for Klei Zechuchas, even for glass kelim, we shouldn't trust the Katan. Why not? Because the Kli has a Cheskas Issa. It says the Kli has a Cheskas Issa. It has a status of Issa. So therefore, I don't think you should be able to trust the Katan. Reb Kiveger wants to say that for Klei Zechuchas, for Tvilas Kelim, the Rabbanan, you can trust the Katan. The Prima Gadim disagrees and says, I think even for Tfilas Kelim, the Rabbanan, even for the Klei Zechuchas, you can't trust the Katan. Because there's a Cheskas Isser on this Kli. What is the Prima Gadim saying? Why is there a Cheskas Isser on the Kli? And why does Reb Kiva Eger hold that there is no Cheskas Isser in the Kli? Well, what's the Machlokas Achronim over here? Is there a Cheskas Isser? No Cheskas Isser. Well, what's going on over here? So Lechora, the Machlokas Achronim is based on two important halachas that apply to Tfilas Kelim. The Ramah writes that it's also to use a kli that requires tefillah even once. Before you've been tovel a kli, you're not allowed to use it. This is a popular misconception as well. That people think that, you know, there's like a freebie. You have, you know, the first time is okay, but you can't use it twice. Right? So that's actually a mistake from the aluminum disposable pans, that it could be that you can use them two or three times, but you can't use them more than that. That's beyond the shear. But the basic rule of Tfilas Kelim is that you're not allowed to use the Kli at all if you haven't been tovel it. Even one time you can't use it. There's an Issa to use the Kli. That's one Ramah. But there's another Ramah, another halacha the Ramah quotes from the Rishonim, that even though it's also to use the Kli without Tevila, but if you didn't use the Kli, you cooked something in that pot, and you forgot to be tovel that pot beforehand, it doesn't prohibit the Meichel. The Meichel's Mutter. Very often you'll get a shayla. Someone will call up and say, oh, I cooked something in this pot and I forgot to be told, but what do I do with the food? The answer is the food is mutter. Food is mutter. It doesn't become asa. The kli requires tefillah. It's asa to use the kli even once without tefillah, but the food is not going to become asa even if you haven't been told the kli. Zalki Yorach HaShulchan, if you put two and two together, the fact that the meichel doesn't become asa tells me that there really is no iser in the chetzah shel kli. If there would be an Isser in the Cheftza Shel Kli, so then how could that not Asa the Meichel? If there would be an Isser in the Cheftza, that's like Macholas Asuris, right? Nevel is an Isser Cheftza, Chazer is an Isser Cheftza. So if there would be an Isser Cheftza in the Kli, then Lechora, it should have to Asa the Meichel that you've created, that you've cooked in the Kli. The very fact that the Meichel doesn't become Asa tells me that this is not an Isser Cheftza. The fact that you can't use the Kli without Tefil is not an Isser Cheftza, it's an Isser Gavra. Right? It's not a din in the cheftza, a din in the gavra. It's a brisk of art, right? It's a din in the gavra, not a din in the cheftza. He says, if it's only an issa gavra, so then I can understand why maybe we should look at tefillas kelim as only a mitzvah, not as an issa. There is no cheskas iser on the kli because it's not a din in the chefzah. The haraya, the meichel doesn't become aser. It's only a din in the gavra. So if it's only a din in the gavra, then it's just a mitzvah that doesn't put a cheskas iser on the kli. Rav Kiveger may have been assuming that Tfilas Kelim is only a mitzvah. It's not an iser, like the Aruch HaShulchan. It's not an iser chefzah. It's only a din in the gavra. So that's why it's not b'cheskas iser. And that's why the Katan should be Nemu. Whereas the Prima Gadim assumes that as long as you have an Isser on the Kli, even if it's not an Isser in the Chefta Shel Kli, there's an Isser that relates to this Kli. There's an Isser Gavra to use the Kli. An Isser Hishtamshus to use the Kli without Tefillah. That's also Cheskas Isser. Why say Cheskas Isser is only Din in the Chefta? No, Cheskas Isser can apply even if it's a Din in the Gavra, because the Din in the Gavra relates to the Kli. So it's not in the Chefta as much as something that would ask the Meichel, Asma. So what? But it's still an Issa that relates to the Kli, an Issa and the Gavra. So that's why the Prima Gadim feels that maybe we should consider it a Cheskas Issa, and that's why the cotton should not be Nemon, even by Klei Zechuchas. Yes?
You still would use the Kli a second time before being told
it, would this be Asser? No. Okay. Tfilas Kelim never, if you don't have a Blia of Issa, any absorption of Issa in the Kli, it doesn't prohibit the Meichel at all. But one is supposed to be Tovo the Kli even before the first usage of the Kli. That's the next point. Very good. Excellent. Oh, so just to sum up, halach lemaisa, when it comes to a katan, the Shmir Shabbos Kalchasa in the second chelek, paskins that a katan is neman on tefilas kelim. He's neman on tefilas kelim of klei zechuchas. Remember, only of the rabbanus. Like whom? Reb Kiveger, right? So he takes Reb Kiveger lahalacha against the Prima Gadim. That at least on Klei Zechuchas, the Katan will be Neman on Tfilas Kelim. But as we mentioned, it's inappropriate. He says it's Eino Nochon to send the Katan to be Tovel the Kelim because you're giving up your mitzvah. But if you can't, you can't.
Even metal?
Right? Sorry?
Even metal?
No. He's talking about glass. By metal, the Truma Sadeshin says that a cotton is not Nem, and the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is like that. Rip Kiveger and the Prima Gadim have a machlokas about glass because it's only the Rabbanan, and to that the Shmir Shabbos Kolchos is willing to be Mekel that the cotton is going to be Nem. So this Yisod, Rabbi Leibowitz points out, this Yisod might relate to other issues regarding Tfilas Kelim as well. If you say that Tfilas Kelim is only a mitzvah, not an Isser, why? Because it doesn't Aser the Meichel. And the fact that it doesn't ask the Meichel means that it's not an Isser in the Chefzah Shel Kli, it's only an Isser in the Gavra, or a Din in the Gavra to be told by the Kli. So that might have far-reaching application to other issues in Tfilas Kelim. I'll just mention two of them. First relates to electrical Kelim. Electrical Kelim is a big Shaila. It comes up all the time. If you have a Kli that actually touches the Meichel, keep in mind, the only Kelim that require Tfilas Kelim are Kelim that actually touch the food. You can have a lot of kelim that you use, but they're not touching the food. There's a hefsik of another kli. So those other kelim do not. You have a tripod, let's say. You put a pot on top of a tripod. The tripod doesn't require tefillah because it doesn't touch the meichel. It doesn't touch the food. You might use it in the process of preparing the food. You might even use it in the process of serving the food. Sometimes you'll take a Corningware dish out of the oven. You take a glass dish out of the oven, put it in some kind of a metal container. Metal container doesn't require tefillah because it's not supposed to touch the food. Yeah, even if food spills on it, but that food is, but it's not significant. It's not supposed to be touching the food, so that doesn't require tefillah. Only kelim that actually touch the food require tefillah. But there are many electrical kelim that actually do touch the food. Hot water urns, George Foreman grills, sandwich makers. Now, there are a lot of metal kelim that do touch the food. The question is, can you use these kelim without tefillah? Why? Because it says on them, right? Can you use the kli without immersing the kli? Because it says on the kli, do not immerse. Is that a psak halacha? Do not immerse? No, that's an Eitz HaTov. But the question is, can you use the kli if it requires tefillah, but you can't be tovel it? What does one do with such a kli? That's the question. So the Chelkas Yaakov, Rav Yaakov Breisch, who is a big gadol in Switzerland, he has a tshuva, a very famous comment in the tshuva, where he suggests that maybe electrical kelim does not require tefillah. Why? Because think of what tefillah's kelim is all about. It's all about tefillah, mitumah, not really mitumah, but mitumas akum. So it's similar to tefillah mitumah v'tari. And we find tefillah in a mikveh relates to tumah v'tari. So it's similar to tefillah mitumah v'tari. Now, when it comes to Tumma V'Tara, something that's Mechubel Akarka is not Mechabel Tumma. So since an electrical Kli is always used when it's Mechubel Akarka, because you have to plug it into the wall, which is Mechubel Akarka, he says that wouldn't be Mechabel Tumma. If it's not Mechabel Tumma, it doesn't require Tumma V'Tara. That's the Chelkas Yaakov's sleight of hand. Right, that's his big chiddush to say that electrical kelim never require tefillah because tefillah's kelim is based on or it's patterned after hilchas tumah v'tara, and hilchas tumah v'tara davar shemechubel lekarka is not mekabel tumah. The electrical kli is dino kemechubel lekarka because you have to attach it to the wall, you have to plug it in, so therefore it doesn't require tefillah's kelim. Can you think of any way that you can disagree with the Chelkas Yaakov yourself? Many ways. Battery. Okay, I'm talking about electrical kelim. Forget the batteries for a moment, okay? Within electrical kelim, can you think of a reason why it should require tefillah? Yeah. Go ahead. It's not attached to it. So first of all, you could say, that's called mechubel karka. Come on. It's pretty easy to take in and out of the outlet, right? That's a good point. The Shevet Halevi, Rav Shmuel Vosner, makes that point, that it's not really attached to the ground. Others want to say... Sorry?
The colleague between a kli that has absolutely no value unless it's plugged in, like a sandwich maker, versus a hot water urn, which is still holding the water.
Right, so they do... There are some poskim that make that point as well. Right. But the other point is that who says that tefillah's kelim is patterned after dinei tumah v'tara? Tefillah equals tefillah. But this is not really from a tumah. What, tumah's akum is a different type of tumah. Like, who says that you should compare... the two. That's what Dayan Weiss and the Minchas Yitzchak wants to suggest. The poskim peel apart this yisod of the Chelkas, this psak of the Chelkas Yaakov. They're not at all convinced that it's correct, because there are many assumptions in this psak. He assumes that tefillas kelim is patterned after dinei tumah v'tara, and electrical kelim are dinam kemechubel lekarka. Who says? Who says it's dinam kemechubel lekarka? Who says that tefillas kelim is based on tumah v'tara? Each one of these issues can be debated. So the problem is, if you're not going to rely on the Chelkas Yaakov, so what can one do? What are you supposed to do with the electrical kelim? So strangely enough, most poskim have assumed for years that the best thing to do is what? To actually bitovel the electrical kli. Yes, you heard it here. They suggest bitovel the electrical kli because they say that trial and error has proven that as long as you leave the kli out for 2 weeks afterwards, a week or two, it dries up completely, and then you can use it, and it's no problem. No problem. I don't mean to say you should leave the electrical kli in the mikveh, you know, sometimes when people go to the mikveh, they go in once, twice, three times, or more than that, you know. So don't do that. You know, just be in and out. Now, you don't have to stay in the mikveh too long, right? But if it's in and out, so the part that's going to be touching the food in the George Foreman grill, right, the metal part of the sandwich maker, it's definitely going to be completely submerged in the water. It's enough as long as that area is completely submerged in the water. Even if every nook and cranny on the inside, it's base astarim, it's completely closed, you don't have to worry that the water has to get into absolutely everything. But you got to put the kli in water. As long as the kli is placed into water and the area that actually touches the meichel or touches the water, as in the hot water urn, is actually submerged in the mikveh, that should be sufficient. That's what a lot of poskim suggested, and that's what I've said for many years. But then I bought a few hot water urns, and we found that one of the hot water urns melted after 2 years. So I asked one of our friends, our neighbors in the area, he's a shtickle physicist of some sort. He says, "Oh, you should never put it into the water." I said, "But no, I waited 2 weeks." He says, "Yeah, I heard that too." He says, "The fact is, if you put wires into water, it degrades the wire. If it degrades the wire, then it might not create a fire immediately, but it can create a fire in another year or two." So he said it's a very bad idea. I said, "I didn't know. I always heard that you should just put it in, just make sure that it dries completely." So then I was questioning, so what should I do? I don't know. I feel uncomfortable with my next urn to put it into the water because I could cause a fire in the future. So Baruch Hashem, I found a company, a Jewish company that makes urns, and I solved the whole problem. I don't have to be tovel the urn anymore. So if you live in Muncie, and you can go to one of the houseware stores where they have an urn made by a Jewish company, then you've solved the whole problem. Because keep in mind, tefillas kelim is only required if the kli is owned by the goy, right? If you have a becher that's made by a Jewish company, so it could be made in Portugal, doesn't matter. But if it's owned by a Jewish company, then you don't have to have tefillas kelim on that. So as long as you have an urn that's made by the non-Jewish company, by the Jewish company, then there's no chiyuv of tefillas kelim. Yeah, but not everyone is so fortunate. Most companies that make a hot water urn are not owned by Jews. So what's the answer? What does one do? I once heard Rabbi Schechter wanted to suggest, based on what Rabbi Leibowitz said, that maybe we should look at Tfilas Kelim only as a mitzvah, not as an isser. If the kli is not b'cheskas isser, if Tfilas Kelim is only a mitzvah, it doesn't ask the meichel, it's only a mitzvah. So if you have the opportunity to do the mitzvah, then matov, then you have a chiyuv to do the mitzvah. But let's say you can't do the mitzvah. You can't use the kli because you can't immerse the electrical kli. Rabbi Schechter wanted to suggest that if you can't do the mitzvah, then the mitzvah doesn't apply to you. Mashal lekach, there's a sheet of the Mordechai Masechta Menachos talking about tzitzis. What happens if your tzitzis get ripped on Shabbos? Can you wear the four-cornered beged on Shabbos, or do you have to take the four-cornered beged off? We know that every four-cornered beged requires tzitzis. Gedilim tasimcha, alar bakanfas ksuscha, shet bechaseva. So let's say your tzitzis rip on Shabbos. Do you have to take off the beged, or can you still wear the beged? So the Mordechai quotes a machlokas about this. We pass in like the reed, the second sheet in the Mordechai, that if your tzitzis rip on Shabbos, you can wear the four-cornered beged without the tzitzis. Aye, but you're wearing a four-cornered beged without tzitzis, gewalt! He says, no, there's no issa to wear a four-cornered beged without tzitzis. There's no pasuk in Chumash that says it's issa to wear a four-cornered beged without tzitzis. The pasuk says, gedilim tasalacha. There's a mitzvah to put on tzitzis. So if you can put on tzitzis, mato. So then there's a chiyuv to put on tzitzis. But if it's Shabbos, where you can't put on tzitzis, because tzitzis require a kshira, kesher elyon daraisa, you have to have a kesher in the tzitzis, so then you can't put on the tzitzis. If you can't fulfill the mitzvah, then there is no mitzvah for you. Rabbi Schechter wanted to suggest, I didn't talk to him directly, so this is what I heard Mishmo, that he wanted to suggest electrical kalim you can use without tzvila, because you can't do the mitzvah on them. So if you can't do the mitzvah, then the mitzvah doesn't exist for you. Others are not so convinced that this is correct. Yes? You're only mevatel a mitzvah saseh if the mitzvah saseh applies to this kli. If the mitzvah saseh doesn't apply to the kli, so then the mitzvah saseh was never set on this kli, because it's not shayach to the kli. I'm sorry? It's a four-cornered garment, but on Shabbos, the mitzvah can't be fulfilled. So if you are in a time or place where the mitzvah can't be fulfilled, then this doesn't apply to you. So what does one do if they don't want to rely on this idea? It's a lumdish idea, it's a beautiful concept, but let's say one doesn't want to rely on this. So others want to suggest, Rabbi Sabalovsky once mentioned this to me years ago, and others as well wanted to suggest that maybe the solution to the problem is to be makne part of the kli to a guy. There is a halach in Shulchan Aruch, there in Siman Kuf Chaf, Sift HaZayin, the Shulchan Aruch says that, let's say a person is holding Erev Shabbos, it's right before Shabbos, and he doesn't have time to be tovah the kli. The mikveh is too far away, it's not going to happen. So what can he do? Can he use the kli before Shabbos? So the Shulchan Aruch suggests, why don't you give the kli b'matana to a guy, and then borrow the kli from the guy. Give it b'matana, and then borrow the kli. And some say you don't even have to give it the matana gemura to the guy. You can give it b'shutfus. He'll have a part of it. He'll have part and you'll have part. As long as the guy owns part of it, then there's no chiyuv of tfilas kelim. Shas adchak kibiyevet dami. So the Shulchan Aruch says that you can solve the problem of tfilas kelim by avoiding the problem of tfilas kelim. If you don't own the kli completely, the guy either owns the kli completely or at least partially, then it's not chayv in tfilas kelim. So that lechor is the simple solution to the problem. If you makne a shutvis in the kli to a non-Jew, then the kli lechol adeya should not require tefillah. We only rely on that b'shas hadchak. This is a shas hadchak. What is one to do with an electrical kli? It's a shas hadchak of the yevet dummy. So perhaps that's the simplest solution to the problem. The only difficulty is that you have to find a guy who understands what you're saying. You know, if you have a person who speaks English and you can try to explain to him there's some religious reason why I want you to have this, I want you to have a portion of the kli, so then it's fine. If you have someone who doesn't understand the language as well, it's more difficult. So we've done this quite a bit. You know, after we had that first urn that melted, so then the next electrical kli after the urn, which I didn't have to be tovel, the next electrical kli, I tried to be makne to our cleaning lady who speaks Spanish. She's a very nice lady, but she, you know, her English is not so good. So I tried to explain to her, I mean, how do you get them to be makna the kli? They have to do a kinyan, so they should give me money. But how can I ask her for money? So I actually gave her a dollar. I said, I want to give you a dollar. She thought I was crazy. Take a dollar. I want to give you a dollar. She didn't know what I was. I said, it's for religious reasons. I want you to own this dal. Take the dal. So she had me speak into her cell phone so that it can Google translate into Spanish so that I could, she could understand what I was talking about. So anyway, so I gave her the dollar, and 3 hours later, I went to her. I didn't want it to seem like such a haroma. So I gave her the dollar. I said, take the dollar. I want you to own this dollar. So she took the dollar, and then she went. She did whatever she had to do. And then 3 hours later, I came to her. I said, could you buy a part of this whatever it was, popcorn maker, whatever machine we wanted her to buy? So she said, what are you? So I said, it's a religious thing. I want you to own part of it. I tried to explain it to her. It was complicated, but we got through it. So she said, okay, I'll acquire it. I said, I need some money. Could you give me a dollar for it? So she took out the dollar and she gave me the dollar. We finished that transaction, and Baruch Hashem, my kids could have the popcorn maker over Shabbos. It was perfect. So that first time was a real challenge. But since then, it's like nothing. She knows exactly I give her a dollar. Or excuse me, I take the dollar from her. I don't even give the dollar back initially. Then at this, like 4 hours later, we give her another dollar. So she realizes that there's a transaction going. I don't want her to lose out on the transaction, but I want to make it as real as possible. The whole thing is just a haram of Alma. Yeah, but you do have the Chelkis Yaakov, who holds that there's no chiyuv tefila b'chlal. You do have Rabbi Shechter, who holds that since tefilas kaim is only a mitzvah, there's no chiyuv tefila b'chlal. So there's what to be makel for, that maybe there's no chiyuv tefila. So I try to do this, just in case. We want to be machmer a little bit more, not to rely on those tzdadim lahakel. To be machmer, a shudvis to a guy might solve the problem as well. Yes?
Maybe according to the ritual, you shouldn't do that. Saying that it's kedushas and goy, why would you want an object in your house that you're always using that has kedushas and goy?
So that actually relates to the final issue that I want to talk about, which is also connected to this. Let's say a person is a guest by someone else's house. A guest. Let's say he made the mistake. He accepted an invitation to eat at someone for Shabbos, and then he realizes, you know, it's all going to be kosher. I know what we arranged everything, but the kalim, the silverware, I don't think they know to be Tovo Kalim. Well, let's say someone goes home for Shabbos, his parents are not frum, but they're going to be careful about the kashas. He's spoken to them and he can trust them. But the silverware, the pots and the pans and the other things, they weren't titled. So is he allowed to use these Kalim Mishum Shalom Bayis? He's in a bad situation. L'chatchila, obviously, a person should make sure that all Kalim should be Tovo. Even if he's a guest at someone else's home, he should make sure everything is Tovo. But let's say he can't. Let's say he's in a difficult situation. He's in a bind. So is it mutter to use Kalim once? Right? But is it mutter to use Kalim that have not been Tovo because he can't be Tovo them? He's in a situation where he can't be Tovo? So that's a whole discussion of Poskim as well, beyond the scope of the shiur. You can look in the Sefer Tefilas Kalim if you want to look further about this. I don't have the exact Maror Malkam. I'll try to find a few later. But the Avni Nezer wants to suggest that maybe the answer to the guest problem is the same issue, the same answer that we gave before. That if Tefilas Kalim is only a mitzvah, if it's not an isser, then it doesn't apply if you can't fulfill the mitzvah. And in this case, you can't fulfill the mitzvah. What? You're going to tell your parents you want to take all the silverware and dump them in the mikvah? You're going to tell the host that invited you that you want to be matal the kalim? It's not going to work. It's impossible. So because it's impossible, it could be that the mitzvah doesn't apply in such a circumstance. The same basic idea, that if Tefilas Kalim is an isser, then we can't use the kalim no matter what the circumstance is. It's us to use the kalim even one time without tefillah. But if it's a mitzvah, then if you can fulfill the mitzvah, matov, then you have a chiyuv to do the mitzvah. But if it's a context where you can't fulfill the mitzvah, as we found, electrical kalim, right? You can't fulfill the mitzvah, so then perhaps there's a heter to use it without tefillah. And similarly, if a person is a guest in a home where he's afraid that perhaps they weren't tovo the kalim, perhaps there's room to be makel. There are other reasons that the poskim are makel, but this is one of the reasons given that perhaps there's room to be makel. Since you can't do the mitzvah anyway, maybe it's mutter to use the kalim without tefillah, because the mitzvah doesn't apply in a context where you can't fulfill the mitzvah. Okay, let's stop here.